Hi there, esteemed audience. I'm Rob Kent, author of Banneker Bones and the Giant Robot Bees, and Banneker Bones and the Alligator People, and Banneker Bones and the Cyborg Conspiracy. I love this trilogy dearly, but today I want to tell you about my new book that I also love dearly, Rob Worm's Bird Adventure. And included with that new book, Rob Worm's Bird Adventure, which is available right now as you're watching or listening to this, is this copy of Rob Worm's Bird Adventure from 1991. That was written by me at 11 years old when I was in the fifth grade. So you get that copy included for free, and it's fully illustrated, all kinds of beautiful illustrations that were done by 11-year-old me. Leave lots of white space on the page. But for today, we're going to read from the brand new 2023 edition of Rob Worm's Bird Adventure. And we're going to start right now with Chapter 1, Something Winged This Way Comes. It was a dark night at a dark time in a dark place. Behind a waterfall rushing from a flooded gutter in the arch of a porch's right column, in the center of her nest, brooded a dark figure. A flash of lightning illuminated everything except her. The robin brought her dark wings down to cover her egg from the pelting rain that blew in sideways. Caressing its shell with the side of her beak, Beatrix whispered, "You're going to grow. You're going to fly." There'd been four eggs originally. She'd laid one a morning while her mate, Bernie, had flown to gather worms and insects and berries for her. They'd been so proud because this nest was at the corner of a human dwelling, a prime location for robins in the spring. Their first nest, built in a tree, flooded in a rainstorm almost as dreadful as the one raging tonight. So far, the human-built roof kept their second nest from taking on water. Beatrix separated from her egg only long enough to turn it, and then she settled over it once more to protect it from the bitter wind. A twig tore loose from the nest wall and blew away. From the left side of the nest, the side she'd had to rebuild on her own. The human's yard was packed with scrumptious worms, and Bernie had easily filled his beak every time he'd left the nest. The humans also had a cat. A cat named Mabel, a black cat with white paws and a white belly. But when Mabel crouched low and the humans hadn't mowed their grass, her white belly was hidden. She could sneak up on a robin if she moved as slow and silent as she had the day she'd snuck up on Bernie. Beatrix had only spotted the cat because she'd been in the nest above. She'd called out to her mate, but Mabel could lunge as well as she could creep. The cat was on Bernie before he could fly away. And then Bernie did fly away, but not far. Mabel jumped up and pulled him back to the ground. This time, Bernie stayed down longer. "Bernie!" Beatrix chirped, flapping her wings wildly. "Get up, Bernie! You have to get up!" And then Bernie escaped the cat a second time. He flew toward his mate and their fancy flood-proof home beneath the porch with a sudden burst of speed. And then he slowed down. And then Bernie dipped, spiraling toward the grass and the waiting cat. He pulled out of his dive just before the cat's outstretched claws could swipe at him. Bernie soared triumphantly toward their nest, but he couldn't fly high enough to land in it. His left wing was bent at an unnatural angle. Beatrix reached for him. Bernie reached his good wing for her, leaving no wings to do the flying. Their feathers brushed. Bernie gripped the side of the nest instead. He used his three forward-pointing toes to pull himself up. It was only then that Beatrix saw the deep scratches on Bernie's red chest. The left wall of their nest crumbled and shook, but Bernie couldn't pull himself up. Beatrix couldn't get enough of a grip to pull him up either. The side of their nest collapsed. Bernie fell to the ground where the cat was waiting. Two of their eggs followed him and smashed on the hard concrete below, and then a third. But Beatrix stopped the fourth egg from falling. She pushed it back against the right side of the nest. She held that egg with everything she had because it was everything she had. And now, in the dark, Beatrix protected her family from the wind and rain that blew under the porch eave. Beneath the rumbling thunder, she heard a new sound, a cracking sound. She repositioned herself to the sturdier right side of the nest. In a burst of lightning, she saw there was a tiny, jagged line in the blue egg. She waited for more lines to appear, but didn't help the egg to hatch. The young inside would have to hatch itself. If it was going to be strong enough to survive in this world of thunderstorms and cats. In the morning, Beatrix would gather worms for her hatchling's breakfast. "You're going to grow," she pledged. "You're going to fly." Chapter 2. Warm Welcome. Or should I say, Worm Welcome. Rob Worm was, and still is for that matter, a short, red, fun-loving worm. There are more than 1 million known species of worms on Earth. They come in all sorts of shapes and brilliant colors, an array of endless variety. But not Rob. He was short and red. Getting longer, though. He was only 9.5 months old, approximately 10 years old in human time, and still growing. He'd been hatched late last summer and spent most of his formative months in burrows deep underground. Like the other worms in his bunch, Rob had covered himself with mucus to keep from drying out and gone into estivation, which is a deep sleep. He might have to do it again later in the summer, depending on how hot it got and how arid the soil became. Worms need to keep wet or they dry out. Rob Worm had spent almost his entire life in the dark. He yearned to see the sun again, and feel the lush grass with his tail and the cooling wind blowing through his setae are spiny little bristles all over a worm's body that help them crawl and even attach themselves to things. For the past few weeks, Rob's bunch had been making their way toward the surface at a leisurely pace, a very leisurely pace. Worms can eat up to half their body weight a day, and Rob's bunch managed at least that. They slowed down to eat, and then they were slow because of how much they ate. But worms love mud, which is why you'll see so many of them on the surface after a heavy rain, such as, say, last night's storm, the one in which Beatrix egg hatched in the previous chapter. Wasn't that a really sad first chapter, by the way? It was scary, especially for worms, but wasn't it almost too sad for a book meant to be read by children? Well, dry your eyes, esteemed reader. This isn't going to be a sad book. In fact, there's a happy, charming song before the end of this very chapter. Beatrix egg hatched and her newborn daughter is healthy, you'll be happy to know. At least, you'd be happy to know that if you weren't one of those unfortunate worms living on the other side of the human house their nest is built on. Rob Worm didn't know about any of that, which is why he was crawling for the surface as quickly as he could with AJ. Technically, AJ might have been Rob's younger sister as well as his best friend. Not that it mattered. Every worm in Rob's bunch was family. They didn't waste time figuring out who was who to who. No one remembered who dropped which that had hatched which worms, and so no one was anyone's official parents. The older worms helped the younger worms, and everyone in the bunch helped everyone else the best they could. "What's your hurry?" AJ called after Rob. They'd already crawled far ahead of the rest of their bunch. "I can feel the dirt getting warmer," Rob called back from several inches away. The soil around Rob and AJ was getting damper as well as warmer. It was only a little bit damp at first, but the higher the worms climbed, the wetter the soil became. Rob remembered mud very well. It had been far too long since he'd felt a splendiferous coating of it covering his entire body. This was as refreshing to him as a swim in a cold pool on a day of record heat. And it tasted as scrumdiddlyumptious to him as diving into the world's largest ice cream sundae would taste to you. Probably. I don't know what you like to eat, esteemed reader. AJ giggled and wriggled, a worm's version of a happy dance. Rob was wriggling and giggling as well. "This is sublime," shouted Adam, who was the first worm from their bunch to catch up to Rob and AJ. "Let's never leave," cried Charlene. More worms arrived behind her, and soon they were all wriggling and giggling, tails flicking heads and heads flicking tails, and none of the worms minding. This was a proper party for a bunch of worms. One of them sang a favorite song, and soon they were all singing it. Dry dirt can sometimes hurt. Rain starts to spurt, causing dry dirt to convert to mud. Mud, we love that crud. It's our bud. We want a flood of mud. Rob sang along with the rest, but the song went on for 47 verses, and he didn't feel like waiting for all of them. Wriggling and giggling, Rob left the bunch behind. Their song followed him. Dry earth has greater worth and gives us mirth when dry earth gives birth to mud. Mud, we love that crud. It's our life's blood. We want a flood of mud. Where are you going? AJ yelled to be heard above the singing, dancing bunch. I didn't crawl all this way just for the mud, Rob called over his tail. I want to see the surface. I want to go on an adventure. Me too. Wait for me. Rob did. AJ slid in the mud, but she hurried to catch up. While Rob waited, there came a loud thwump. Something shook the soil. Rob froze out of instinct, but there was nothing nearby. Another thwump, and the soil shook again, shaking Rob's whole world, but less so than the first time. The third thwump happened just as AJ caught up to him, but it was far quieter than the first two had been. Rob determined that whatever was making all that commotion was thankfully moving away from them. Is something on the surface shaking all the dirt? AJ asked. I think so. What? I have no idea. Rob grinned. Let's go find out. AJ hesitated. Maybe we should wait for the rest of the bunch. This might have been the most important advice Rob Worm ever had or ever would receive. Naturally, he didn't follow it. Chapter 3. Stunning Surface Sights. That's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, Rob Worm said. He was staring at a single blade of crisp green grass. It's important to here remind, esteemed reader, Rob Worm had spent the majority of his life underground, in the dark. And he didn't just mean this one blade of grass was beautiful, though it was framed perfectly in the morning sun, peeking out through the dark clouds left over from last night's storm. Rob meant everything. The warmth of the air, the cool breeze blowing through the other blades of grass he had yet to admire, though he planned to. The fluffs of dandelion carried on that same breeze, flying like a flock of distant birds, a thought Rob Worm didn't think because he'd never even seen one bird. AJ shouted an alarm, and then she laughed when a second drop of rainwater dripped from the white petal of a flower high above them and struck her on the head. She was only made more wet, something worms don't mind at all, even if it washed a bit of the marvelous mud from her neck. Look at that, Rob cried. AJ looked to where his tail pointed and gasped. Is it dangerous? Doesn't seem to be. Rob hoped this was true anyway. He didn't know what they'd do if the insect attacked them. Lucky for Rob and AJ, this particular insect was a ladybug and not one of the nastier pests Rob would meet later, such as the nearby underground nest of yellowjackets that had nearly flooded overnight. It's a pity the yellow jackets survived, but many of them did, so I suppose we'll run into them eventually. But we were discussing ladybugs. Ladybugs aren't above eating boil worms or the occasional corn earworm, but they aren't likely to attack two earthworms. This particular ladybug was resting after having eaten three whole aphids, so he was already full. And the young worms staring at him so intensely for so long were making him uncomfortable. The worms, of course, didn't realize this. They flinched as the ladybug fluttered his wings and flew to another blade of grass to get away from them. All Rob and AJ saw was a dazzling display of brilliant red dotted by spots of black. Wow, said AJ. Fantastic, said Rob. Goodbye, weirdos, said the ladybug. What's that? Called a voice far behind them. AJ and Rob turned to see they weren't the only worms out and about this morning. Nothing brings worms to the surface like a sunny morning after a rainstorm. There were several bunches above ground, which made what happened next even more horrifying. I don't know what that is, said a worm, looking at where the first worm was pointing her tail. I don't like it, said a worm behind them. Me either, said another. We should go, said a third. It's a monster! We're doomed! Soon, too many worms were shouting too many things, and no one could hear what anyone was saying. And then the monster they were all shouting about leapt forward, creating a tail-shaking thwomp. It was the same sound Rob and AJ had heard underground. And it wasn't hard to see why the earth had shaken around them. It was shaking under them now. The monster's shadow covered the many bunches of worms in darkness. She was a rusty red mountain, shrouded by black wings, standing on two thin legs the length and width of baby worms. Her ansidactyl feet ended in four terrifying toes, three in front and one in back. Those finger-like toes ended in sharp claws, each as long as a worm's head. Worse, those feet could feel every vibration beneath them and around them, sensing the sounds of worms like a bat hearing the locations of bugs. The worms had no hope of hiding from her. We should go back underground, AJ whispered, her voice trembling. Rob nodded, but made no move to retreat. For months, years in worm time, he'd been dreaming of coming to the surface to see something new and interesting. He didn't want to leave the moment something new and interesting arrived. The monster sprang forward again, creating another thump that could barely be heard above the sounds of the screams of the fleeing worms. Look how fast it moves, Rob marveled. Come on, Rob, AJ tugged his tail with hers. The monster leaned forward, which shouldn't have been possible given her gigantic form balance on such thin legs. But her tail feathers countered the weight of her upper body, allowing her to peer down at the mud and the worms in it. She had to turn her head because her huge, all-black eyes were set on the sides of her narrow face, meaning she could only see something up close with one eye at a time. She searched until she found what she was looking for, and then she struck, stabbing at the dirt with her sharp orange-black beak. When she raised her terrifying crimson and gray head, there was a struggling worm pinched between the upper and lower mandibles of her beak. Rob and AJ trembled with fright. The monster dropped the worm in the mud where he barely wriggled, he was so stunned. He screamed, though. He was still screaming when the monster opened her beak wide and bit him. And then she tilted her head back, raising the worm's tail toward the sun, and slurped him down. Every other worm had begun burrowing away from the scene as fast as they could. Okay, we should go back underground, Rob said, turning to see AJ had already started digging. The monster turned as well, focusing her enormous all-black eyes on them. Chapter 4. Monster's Breakfast. The monster eating her breakfast was only a monster from a certain perspective, one much closer to the ground. From a higher perspective, she was Beatrix, the brave robin whose esteemed reader will remember protected her one remaining egg until her daughter hatched earlier this morning. From an even higher perspective, say that of a malicious black cat named Mabel, Beatrix looked like breakfast herself. From an even higher perspective yet, the humans living in the house imagined themselves to own that cat as well as the property she patrolled. And everyone present is being read about by you, esteemed reader. Makes you wonder, is anyone reading about you? Anyway, Mabel was in the front yard of her human's house. Beatrix made sure of this before landing in the wet grass of the backyard in front of the human's koi pond, which they also imagined themselves as owning. Beatrix had seen much larger birds occasionally circle that small pond. The koi fish looked delightfully delectable, though too enormous for a robin to eat without 30 friends to share it with. Good morning, chirped Bumble, a robin who was already pecking worms out of the grass. Robins can be very territorial of new birds and crouching in their area. But Bumble and her mate Beckett had been in the area before Beatrix and Bernie had built their nest at the front of the house. It's a glorious morning, Beatrix chirped back. I have a new daughter. Her name is Beatrice. Bumble slurped down a worm. What a lovely name. Thank you, Beatrix said, her own beak full. She swallowed. I call her BB for short because, you know, she's my BB. That's very clever. Bumble pecked up another worm. Robins can eat up to 14 feet of earthworms per day, and that's if they have to go digging for them. A morning like this, after a rainstorm that brought so many fresh bunches of worms above ground, is a robin buffet. Beatrix hadn't eaten much for days, as she hadn't wanted to leave her unhatched egg. She gorged herself now, pecking at everything that wriggled. "I meant to tell you sooner, but I haven't seen you," Bumble said, licking her beak. "That is, I just wanted to say how sorry I am about Bernie." Beatrix froze. She swallowed her currant worm. "I appreciate your saying that." Bumble looked away, which she had to turn her whole head to do. Several seconds passed, with neither bird speaking nor eating. "Well, it was good seeing you, Bumble. I need to take Bibi her breakfast." Of course, it was good to see, but Beatrix had already jumped away. Robin's feet are perfect for perching. Walking, not so much. Therefore, robins tend to hop most places when they aren't flying. Beatrix hopped again, putting plenty of space between herself and the other robin. And then she ate another worm, though she was already feeling full. It was hard not to feast when there was so much food everywhere. But she really should get some worms for Bibi and then get back to her nest. Beatrix surveyed the overgrown grass and spotted Rob and AJ, who were frantically trying to disappear underground. Beatrix was sure she could get to them before they did. She leapt forward on the attack. Chapter 5. Digging, Wriggling, and Pecking. "Dig for your life!" AJ yelled, diving into the dirt. Rob Worm dove into the ground behind her. Neither of them looked over their tails to see how close the monstrous bird hunting them was. It's probably better they didn't look, because the robin was very, very close. Fortunately, worms never crawl faster than when they're sliding through mud. Rob and AJ were underground, their tails disappearing in the mud just as the robin reached the daisy they'd been beside. Thwomp! "Hurry, Rob! Hurry, Rob!" AJ shouted, really shouting at herself to hurry. Rob hurried also. "Hurry, Rob! Hurry, Rob! Help, Rob!" It was only now, turning back, that Rob realized he'd crawled a full worm's length deeper than AJ. She was still entirely too close to the surface, which made no sense. AJ was nearly as fast as he was. And then Rob saw the problem. AJ had gotten tangled in the thin strands of the daisy's roots. Having been much deeper underground for most of her life, roots weren't something AJ had ever had to worry about before. Rob's head switched places with his tail as he did a full turnaround and climbed back to help his friend. "I don't like the surface after all," AJ cried. "I want to go deep underground and stay there forever where it's safe." Deep underground isn't so very safe for worms either, esteemed reader. There are moles down there, and they love a worm and dirt sandwich, but that's beside the point, and Rob and AJ weren't deep underground. Although they didn't know it, the robin now perched directly above them was sensing every sound and movement the worms made with her astute ansidactyl feet. "Stop wriggling and let me help you." Rob struggled to guide AJ's tail out of the daisy's root structure. "I can't stop," AJ cried. "We have to go. We have to hurry. Right now, Rob, right now!" The mud to the right of them exploded, and both worms screamed. The robin's long, orangish-black beak plunged lower, grinding the soil apart and searching for fresh worm flesh to bite into. She bit a rock instead. If Rob had started digging right now, right this very instant, he probably could have gotten away, scared, but unharmed. However, this thought never occurred to him. He would no more leave AJ behind than he would stick his tail in the monster's open thrashing beak. The robin withdrew her beak, making a screech along the side of a pebble. She chirped in frustration, a sound so as loud and as horrifying to the worms as the roar of a prehistoric beast would be to a Neanderthal. Rob forced himself to be calm, something he didn't know he could do until this very moment. He put his tail over AJ's tail and gently guided it away from the last of the daisy's roots, not slowly exactly, but not rushing either. "You're free. Now dig as fast as you can," Rob whispered, not quietly enough to remain undetected by a certain pair of ansidactyl feet. The soggy soil above them burst open. Rob saw the tip of the beak coming for them and headbutted AJ as hard as he could to knock her out of the way before it could bite her. Thanks, AJ said, rubbing her head with her tail. Dig! Rob shouted, pushing her clear of the beak that was biting into nothing but dirt and bits of daisy root. Rob kept pushing AJ. He looked up and found there was now sunlight shining directly on him before it was blocked by a large, all-black eye surrounded by patches of white. The eye narrowed on Rob. And then the robin withdrew her head. The sudden sunlight was blinding. But Rob didn't need to see where he was going. He was going down, and fast. AJ was half a worm's length ahead of him. She was safe and no longer panicking. Rob dug faster, desperate to catch up. And he would have if the dirt hadn't burst open again. Rob felt the impact this time. It sent a shockwave through his whole body and set all his setae on end, stiffened and high alert. The pain didn't come for another second, during which time Rob dug as fast and hard as he could. But he didn't descend any lower, and then the pain from his tail rose up through his body, though he was digging downward, and exited his mouth in a scream. He knew without looking that his tail was clamped in the robin's beak. Before Rob had time to react, he was being pulled toward the surface. Rob burrowed his setae into the ground around him, hoping to hold himself in place with his bristles. This would have been easier if the soil wasn't so wet. Of course, if the soil wasn't wet, he wouldn't be this close to the surface to begin with. And yet, slipping as he was, Rob was shocked to discover mud was not always a worm's bud. The robin pulled on his tail, yanking him upward. Rob gripped the slick mud and pulled himself back down. And so began the ultimate tug-of-war match. Rob would have lost immediately if the robin's beak caught him the first time it crashed underground, but he was deep enough now he might be able to pull himself free. He tried not to think about the agony of the skin on the tip of his tail ripping and peeling. Above him, the robin chirped angrily, though the chirps were muffled as her beak was tightly clamped on Rob. Below him, AJ had turned around and was crawling back to help. "Don't come up here," Rob warned. AJ ignored this, climbing toward him as fast as she could, and there was nothing he could do to stop her. AJ would no more leave him behind than he would leave her. There was no sense in both of them being captured. "Goodbye," Rob said. He relaxed his setting. The robin yanked him out of the ground. The last thing Rob saw before he was blinded by sunlight was AJ's horrified face as she screamed for him. Chapter 6. Keep the Tip. Rob Worm was yanked upward and then dropped back to the mud, which spattered beneath him. The force of impact rattled his whole body. He tried to lift his head to see where he was, but couldn't move. Everything hurt. All Rob could see was the sunlight above, and then a dark shape stepped into view, towering over him. The robin's black eyes peered at him, one at a time, as she had to tilt her head so each eye could have a look. Her beak quivered with excitement. She chirped happily. Rob managed to turn himself around before the robin pinched his tail once again and pulled him up. This time there was nothing for Rob Sette to grip. He was lifted high until all he could see was the rusty red chest of the robin, which to him appeared upside down because he was upside down. "Please don't," but Rob's plea was silenced by the robin spreading her black wings. Rob hadn't known she had those. She flapped them, creating a rush of wind that blew all Rob's setae back and stung the fresh wounds in his tail. And then the mud and grass beneath him grew smaller and farther away. Rob Worm had wanted to go above the surface more than anything, but not this far above it. At first, Rob was so relieved he wasn't eaten he could scarcely appreciate the view around him. But he knew he should. Few worms had ever seen anything like it. Most worms who encountered a bird were slurped down without ever knowing this view was also a possibility. Of course, Rob was only seeing all of this because the robin flying him high above the yard intended to feed him to her hatchling. But Rob didn't know that, and so he was momentarily filled with wonder at the patio, complete with a grill, a table, with an umbrella, and a koi pond. "Wow," Rob said, and then winced as some more skin on his tail ripped. "How?" Esteemed reader would probably not be very impressed by the sight of a human's backyard from the air, but remember, Rob Worm had had his mind blown by a single blade of grass 3 chapters ago. Despite the pain and his fear of what the robin might yet do, Rob did take in the full view. It was the most extraordinary thing he'd ever seen, and he'd probably be thinking about it for the rest of his life. Though he'd better get free, or that wouldn't be much longer at all. Summoning all his strength, Rob wriggled himself to the left and then to the right. He swung in short arcs at first, and then longer ones. The robin's beak clamped down tighter. Rob cried out from the pain, but he swung harder. The robin clamped even tighter. By the time they were over the roof of the human house, Rob's mangled tail was as thin in places as the tendril of a daisy's root. And still Rob swung himself, even as he felt he might pass out from the pain. Below him, the black shingles went from one side of his vision to the other, making him as nauseous as a fairgoer on a malfunctioning ride. Even so, if the robin hadn't startled so suddenly and bitten down harder than she intended, Rob might have never broken free. But she chomped the ragged tip of his tail clean off, severing it from the rest of his body and dropping him. Rob Worm plummeted. Chapter 7. Tail End. Beatrix was so startled by the sudden appearance of Mabel, she didn't notice the weight she carried in her beak changing. The only thought in her mind was Bibi. Nothing else mattered. "Go away! Get out of here!" Beatrix screamed at the cat, diving under the porch's roof and not pulling up until she could latch her feet on the solid side of the nest. She nearly fell on her feathery rump. She was so relieved to find Bibi sleeping peacefully. Beatrix woke her hatchling by nudging her with her beak, gently but urgently. Bibi startled awake. "It's okay," Beatrix said, as much to reassure herself as her daughter. "You're okay. It's all right." She gave Bibi a hug. Maybe she needed it. Beatrix certainly did. Robin hugs are very different from human hugs. Beatrix moved her entire body over her hatchling as though Bibi were in an egg again. Bibi didn't mind, as hugs from her mother were her favorite non-edible thing. After a moment, Beatrix poked her beak over the edge of the nest. She spied 2 emerald eyes peering up at her from a furry black face. "Why don't you go inside, you terrible, awful, horrible beast?" Beatrix screamed, her heart beating fast, her rust-red chest puffed up. "Better yet, why don't you go play in the road?" Mabel had been near the end of the driveway when Beatrix left the nest, or she wouldn't have left. But once she was gone, Mabel must have come back to the porch, waiting just as patiently as you please under the column on which Beatrix and Bernie had built their nest. Mabel stretched and yawned, pointing her black tail straight back. Then she turned and languidly strutted away, her tail now fully up to show Beatrix her butt. She leapt to the human's porch swing and curled up in its seat, not a care in the world. And why not? After all, the robins had to come down sometime. Bibi chirped and nudged her mother's wing with her head. "What's the matter, Bibi?" Beatrix cooed. "Are you hungry?" Bibi chirped louder. "Well, just wait until you see the juicy red worm your mama brought you." Beatrix stretched over Bibi's beak and opened her own. What dropped out of it wasn't a juicy red worm. It was the ragged tip of a juicy red worm's tail, so small it couldn't even properly be called a snack. Bibi scarfed it down in a single bite, swallowed, and then chirped for more. Beatrix searched the inside of her beak with her tongue, but there wasn't any more. How could that be? She hadn't swallowed the worm. Bibi chirped louder. "I know you're hungry. Mama's sorry. I meant to bring you more food, but it was my first time, and I failed you." She felt a sob swell up inside her, but she swallowed it down. No! She hadn't built 2 nests, rebuilt part of the second, lost her mate and most of their eggs just to cry now? Just to fail? Now? No! She shouted. Bibi recoiled from her. "It's okay," Beatrix said, patting her daughter with her reassuring wing. "I'm going to make it okay." She paced from one side of the nest to the other. I must have dropped the worm when I saw Mabel, which means he's probably on the roof. I can't go to the backyard again now with that ghastly cat so close. She rubbed her beak with the tip of her wing, creating a soft flutter of feathers. But maybe I can find the rest of that worm. Bibi chirped at her mother. It's okay. Beatrix took a deep, calming breath and stroked her daughter's featherless back. You're going to grow. You're going to fly. Beatrix looked up to the roof and her eyes narrowed. I'll find that worm. And that's where we'll leave it for today, esteemed audience. That's the first 7 chapters of Rob Worm's Bird Adventure, but there's 34 chapters total. There is so much more adventure and story ahead of you that I hope you'll continue on without me. You're going to look forward to a massive battle of colonies of ants. You can look forward to dangerous koi fish, a sizzling hot driveway. We haven't even met one of my favorite characters, Buzzfly, yet, or another favorite character, Caligula, Nasty Spider. All kinds of great stuff that's waiting for you, and I hope to see you there. Thanks again for your time, for your attention, and as always, God willing, I'm alive. I'll see you next week.